No, I... How did you know it woke me up over the summer? Said Harry, astonished. You are not Sirius only, correspondent, said Dumbledore. I have also been in contact with him ever since he left Hogwarts last year. It was I who suggested the mountainside cave as the safest place for him to stay. Dumbledore got up and began walking up and down behind his desk. Every now and then he placed his wand tip to his temple, removed another shining silver thought, and added it to the pensive. The thoughts inside began to swirl so fast that Harry couldn't make out anything clearly. It was merely a blur of colour. "Professor," he said quietly, after a couple of minutes. Dumbledore stopped pacing and looked at Harry. "My apologies," he said quietly. He sat back down at his desk. Do you know why my scar's hurting me?" Dumbledore looked very intently at Harry for a moment, and then said, "I have a theory, no more than that. It is my belief that your scar hurts both when Lord Voldemort is near you and when he is feeling a particularly strong surge of hatred." "But why?" "Because you and he are connected by the curse that failed," said Dumbledore. "That is no ordinary scar."
"So you think that dream, did it really happen?"
"It is possible," said Dumbledore. "I would say probable. Harry, did you see Voldemort?"
"No," said Harry, "just the back of his chair. But there wouldn't have been anything to see, would there? I mean, he hasn't got a body, has he?"
But then how could he have held the wand?" Harry said slowly. "How indeed," muttered Dumbledore. "How indeed." Neither Dumbledore nor Harry spoke for a while. Dumbledore was gazing across the room, every now and then placing his wand tip to his temple and adding another shining silver thought to the seething mass within the pensive.
"Professor," Harry said at last, "do you think he's getting stronger?"
"Voldemort?" said Dumbledore, looking at Harry over the pensive. It was the characteristic piercing look Dumbledore had given him on other occasions, and always made Harry feel as though Dumbledore was seeing right through him, in a way that even Moody's magical eye could not.
"Once again, Harry, I can only give you my suspicions."
Dumbledore sighed again, and he looked older and wearier than ever. "The years of Voldemort's ascent to power," he said, "were marked with disappearances. Bertha Jorkins has vanished without trace in the place where Voldemort was certainly known to be last. Mr. Crouch, too, has disappeared within these very grounds. And there was a third disappearance, one which the Ministry, I regret to say, does not consider of any importance, for it concerns a muggle. His name was Frank Bryce. He lived in the village where Voldemort's father grew up, and he has not been seen since last August. You see, I read the Muggle newspapers, unlike most of my Ministry friends." Dumbledore looked very seriously at Harry. "These disappearances seem to me to be linked. The Ministry disagrees, as you may have heard while waiting outside my office." Harry nodded. Silence fell between them again, Dumbledore extracting thoughts every now and then. Harry felt as though he ought to go, but his curiosity held him in his chair.
"Professor," he said again.
"Yes, Harry," said Dumbledore.
Could I ask you about that court thing I was in the pensive?"
"You could," said Dumbledore heavily. "I attended it many times, but some trials come back to me more clearly than others, particularly now.
You know the trial you found me in? The one with Crouch's son? Well, were they talking about Neville's parents?"
Dumbledore gave Harry a very sharp look.
"Has Neville never told you why he has been brought up by his grandmother?" he said.
Harry shook his head, wondering, as he did so, how he could have failed to ask Neville this in almost 4 years of knowing him.
"Yes, they were talking about Neville's parents," said Dumbledore. "His father, Frank, was an auror, just like Professor Moody. He and his wife were tortured for information about Voldemort's whereabouts after he lost his powers, as you heard."
"So they're dead," said Harry quietly.
"No,"
said Dumbledore, his voice full of a bitterness Harry had never heard there before.
"They are insane. They are both in St. Mungo's Hospital for magical maladies and injuries. I believe Neville visits them with his grandmother during the holidays. They do not recognize him."
Harry sat there, horror-struck. He had never known, never in 4 years, bothered to find out.
"The Longbottoms were very popular," said Dumbledore. "The attacks on them came after Voldemort's fall from power, just when everyone thought they were safe. Those attacks caused a wave of fury such as I have never known. The Ministry was under great pressure to catch those who had done it. Unfortunately, the Longbottoms' evidence was, given their condition, none too reliable."
"Then Mr. Crouch's son might not have been involved," said Harry, slowly. Dumbledore shook his head.
"As to that, I have no idea."
Harry sat in silence once more, watching the contents of the pensieve swirl. There were two more questions he was burning to ask, but they concerned the guilt of living people.
He said, "Mr. Bagman has never been accused of any dark activity since," said Dumbledore, calmly.
"Right," said Harry, hastily, staring at the contents of the pensieve again, which were swirling more slowly now that Dumbledore had stopped adding thoughts.
But the pensieve seemed to be asking his question for him. Snape's face was swimming on the surface again. Dumbledore glanced down into it, and then up at Harry. "No more has Professor Snape," he said.
Harry looked into Dumbledore's light blue eyes, and the thing he really wanted to know spilled out of his mouth before he could stop it.
"What made you think he'd really stopped supporting Voldemort, Professor?"
Dumbledore held Harry's gaze for a few seconds, and then said, "That, Harry, is a matter between Professor Snape and myself." Harry knew that the interview was over. Dumbledore did not look angry, yet there was a finality in his tone that told Harry it was time to go. He stood up, and so did Dumbledore.
"Harry," he said as Harry reached the door, "please do not speak about Neville's parents to anybody else. He has the right to let people know when he is ready."
"Yes, Professor," said Harry, turning to go.
"And—"
Harry looked back. Dumbledore was standing over the pensieve, his face lit from beneath by its silvery spots of light, looking older than ever. He stared at Harry for a moment, and then said, "Good luck with the third task."